Yoni, Rob Schneider, what's going on?
What's going on?
Yeah.
It's a pleasure to be here in Riverside.
Stoked to be here. Yeah, man. Yeah.
Glad you made making it. Out.
Absolutely. It was a bit of a journey from hell. We were very close to missing our connection flight. I think Joe and I sprinted probably half a mile from our gate, kind of bumped people to get off the plane, and we made it. And then we got to the hotel, and the hotel's booking system was down. So we were just chilling in the lobby for about an hour and a half, but you know, we're here. We're happy to be here, and nothing was going to stop us from getting here.
Where's home base?
Home base is Washington, D.C.
Oh, nice. So yeah, you just flew across the country right now.
Yeah, it was about like 9-10 hours if you include the time zones, but yeah, totally worth it. Any chance to come to California.
Yeah, thanks for making the journey out. It's a big trip. Rob, what time did you sleep tonight?
It was a bit of a journey for me too, different. Yeah, I slept about 2 hours.
Yeah, this morning?
Yeah, that was about it. Yeah. From about like 10 to 1 or so. And then at 3:30, had a new baby girl delivered at home in a bathtub or a swimming pool. It's pretty wild. So I'm jacked up on a lot of caffeine and adrenaline, some oxytocin thrown in there, I think.
Nice.
So glad to be here.
How was the home birth experience compared? Because you did a hospital birth before. And
yeah.
You just did a home birth about, 6 hours ago?
Yeah.
And you're here. Respect. Well, I got respect. Like, that's dedication to be here right now.
Well, I was stoked about this. We'd been planning it for a while. And obviously, like, I was like, you got to hurry this thing up. I got a podcast this morning. Let's get it cracking, you know? The home birth thing is wild, man. I think I hear a lot of guys talk about like, oh, it's such a weird thing and traumatic or gross or whatever. And I'm like, this is like one of the most sacred, beautiful things that we do as humans is make more humans. You know, I want to be engaged, especially if it's my human. I want to like be a part of that, you know, be the first to touch the baby and like usher it in. Also get your hand off my baby, you know, like who are you? But we had a great team of midwives and doulas, physical therapists. Like we had a whole team there. It was pretty wild. These wonderful women that just do this, you know, dedicated their lives to waking up at 1 o'clock in the morning and driving across town to help you go through one of the most challenging environments that you'll ever go through. Like not necessarily me emotionally,
yeah,
maybe.
Yeah. We're just kind of spectators.
Yeah, we are. But you know, I was there with her, you know, pushing on her hips and helping her navigate the strain and everything. And then she managed it like 30 minutes of pushing, baby was out. And I have this little human, and they're all floppy, like a gummy worm, just jello in your hand. You're like, don't drop it. You cannot drop this thing, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, man. And you know, mom and baby are healthy, doing great, recovering. They've got some support. So she's like, just get out of here and go do the podcast, you weirdo.
With the emotional experience, hospital versus home birth, for us, you know, we've done both. We did our last one in the hospital because it was a little early. He was a little early. But home birth versus hospital, what's like the impact emotionally compared to hospital? Is it much more intense?
Yeah. I mean, the hospital is so impersonal, you know, it's white walls, bright lights, people that you don't know, strange sounds, equipment beeping and this and that. At home, we got candles on. It's low lights. It's comfortable. It's where we're used to being.
She's walking around.
She's walking around in the water, the warm water. Could take a shower. She can move. And so even for me, just being in that environment that we know it's our space, it's our cave, right? So I don't think I'd be here right now today if it had been in the hospital, because it's so much more emotionally tolling because you're dealing with all the other stuff. It's like you're already dealing with this thing and then you layer on it all this weird stuff.
Yeah.
You know, and they don't treat you the same way. You're a just factory at a hospital, get you in and out.
Mm-hmm.
And here it's like these people love us and care about us. They've watched us through the whole journey. You know, we have a connection to them. They have a connection to our family. So, I mean, I feel great,
yeah.
You know, and so does mama and baby. They're just both just like chilling.
Who built the soundtrack?
Nature. Yeah. I mean, we actually, when she went into labor, we had crickets outside.
Nice.
At first. And so it was like really quiet because it's late, you know, nobody's around. But then, you know, we're down in Newport Beach on the peninsula and there was fireworks still going off from 4th of July. People still delayed. So she's in the middle of labor and we got fireworks going off above our house.
Wow.
Which is a pretty unique soundtrack.
Hate when that happens.
I know, right?
Yeah.
So
that's cool, man. Well, congratulations. Cool.
Yeah. Thanks, man.
That's awesome. Yoni, what's the story behind PCT and how did you guys get started?
Awesome. So, PCT was founded about 30 years ago, 1994, 1995. And the company started with a product called Pet Plant. And the idea of Pet Plant was to bring tissue culture to the masses. And it was a tissue culture starter kit. The main issue that we had with Pet Plant at the time is contamination. You know, one of the biggest challenges tissue culture labs have today, whether you're a hobbyist or a professional commercial lab, is contamination. And so with the support and research with Dr. Asaf Ghouri and Dr. Amnon Levy, plant preservative mixture was born. So fast forward today, you know, PPM has become a staple in the industry. It's a broad spectrum antimicrobial. And what that means in English or layman's terms is it prevents any form of fungus, bacteria, contamination that you see in tissue culture. And so PCT has evolved from the foot in the door using PPM to becoming a major staple in a manufacturer supplier in the tissue culture space. And so about within the last 5 years, with the opportunity that we saw as cannabis was becoming more common and tissue culture was starting to enter the fold with cannabis, we saw the opportunity to tie those two together. And it's been a pretty fun journey seeing how the company has evolved over the last 30 years. I mean, 6-7 years ago, we only had one product and now we have more than 30. We've scaled 10 times since then.
What primary industries are you guys servicing other than cannabis?
So the main industries I'd say are horticulture and agriculture. So anything from berry producers, fruits and vegetables. We work with the forestry industry. So tons of companies that are growing trees for reforestation efforts, as well as propagating trees that have, you know, disease resistance, climate and temperature resistance. We work with the pharmaceutical industry. So a lot of secondary metabolites are grown in tissue culture and different enzymes that are extracted from plants. We also work with the ornamental and houseplant industry. So any of the fiddleleafs or monsteras or philodendrons that you see in your houseplant stores are coming from tissue culture. And that's something I, you know, want to touch on a little bit. People don't realize that most of the plants that you see today, whether it's in your grocery stores or the flowers that you buy or the houseplants that you buy, are coming from tissue culture labs and eventually making their way to your home or into your stomach.
What's the reason why those producers go with tissue culture over regular like cloning or some kind of other?
Yeah, it's a great question. So it all comes down to efficiency and cost per square foot. So with tissue culture, it's also known as micropropagation. So we're able to mass produce hundreds of thousands of clones in a small amount of space. Some of the advantages specifically with tissue culture is being able to clone disease-free plants at scale. So if you look at the orchid industry, right? Tissue culture really started in the 50s where orchid growers loved different varieties, different colors, different shapes and smells that their orchids had. If you were to propagate those orchids with seeds, for example, the genetics would be completely different, similar to having a child. You don't know if they're going to have blonde hair, brown hair, blue eyes, green eyes. But what we do with tissue culture is by taking clones, or whether it's the roots, shoot tips, or other tissue from that plant, we can get genetically identical plants at scale. So if you look at blueberries or raspberries, the way that we're able to have such consistency in the grocery stores and have them 24/7, 365 is because of tissue culture. It's selective breeding. It's finding the juiciest, the ripest, the largest berries and cloning that plant over and over again.
Cultivators in cannabis usually see those same benefits with cloning, mm-hmm. just regular clones. Mm-hmm. You can get, you know, similar, you can get the exact same trait.
Mm-hmm.
Is another reason why they're doing it is tissue culture more efficient on a production scale for cloning for some of those producers?
Absolutely. So the primary advantage I'd say of tissue culture versus standard propagation is the ability to keep these plants sterile. we're seeing a ton of viruses, viroids, and fungus plaguing the cannabis industry amongst other industries. And what we can do with tissue culture is not only test the products to make sure that they're clean, but then propagate them in vitro. And what that means is we're keeping them sterile and keeping them clean in their own small containers. And we're able to mass produce at scale. And so when it comes to efficiency, I think the main reason the cannabis industry hasn't necessarily fully adapted tissue culture yet is still a relatively new science and approach in cannabis. This has been a technology, I think, for about 70, 80 years now. So the science is there. It's just the protocols and the practice is starting to be implemented. And, you know, the truth is we are speaking with a number of customers who are producing 50, 100, 200,000 clones a month. So it really depends on the facility. I think you're not hearing about it because a lot of these facilities are fairly secretive with their research and with their approaches. Because right now it's a competitive edge that companies are using. And so it's not a matter of if, it's
cloning
a matter of
businesses.
When.
Yep. Cloning businesses.
Cloning businesses. You have, you know, Conception Labs, you have Node Labs, and then you have a number of manufacturers or just mass or cannabis producers that are using tissue culture as their competitive edge in order to, you know, mass produce healthy plants.
Are they, with that, is they're obviously finding it more efficient to clone that way. Mm-hmm. Obviously, it's better because of disease resistance. Logistically, are they shipping, are those brands shipping like something like this to an end user? Or yeah. Are they shipping actual different forms?
So it depends. My understanding with some of the companies like Conception and Node is they acclimate the plant for you and they harden it and they ship it to you. The beauty of tissue culture is you can ship these genetics internationally because it's fully sterile and it's contained. So one advantage for some companies is being able to ship clones. The thing is, most companies don't necessarily know what to do with that if they don't have a lab.
I think that's the biggest problem, right? Because
yeah.
if you're a cultivator and you're just a general cultivator that doesn't have a lot of experience with tissue culture, and you got 1,000 of these that showed up at your door, like what
do you do?
What do you do with it?
Yeah, what do we do with this?
It's different.
Well, that's where we come in, right?
Yeah, so walk us through, say 1,000 of these show up at my door from a cloning company.
Sure.
What do I do?
So let's create some assumptions here to make the scenario easier. So we're assuming that these plants are in multiplication media, which means we're fully trying to get as many nodes as possible. On average, if you're cloning in tissue culture, you're getting anywhere from 3 to 4 times. So one node turns to 3 to 4 plants. With traditional propagation, you know, one plant becomes one plant. Given that you have plants in multiplication media, there's two potential approaches. One is shift it to rooting media, which is another process that could take 3 to 4 weeks to develop roots. The other is to root ex vitro, so using rock wool or rooting blocks, which might also take a little bit of longer time.
From that. So you could take that and put it straight into Rockwell and then it would grow roots.
You can.
Like a clone.
Okay. But I would recommend going to rooting media first.
Yeah. Okay. So say you got 1,000 of these that showed up in mm-hmm. rooting media mm-hmm. that are rooted, ready to go. Mm-hmm. What's the steps of, you know, transplanting it?
Sure.
And as far as like hardening it off, because I know with cuttings, you got to harden off yep. and you're worried about the
same
transition
thing.
Shock. What, walk us through that.
Yeah. So you'd extract the explant from the media. Obviously you want to do this in clean conditions, wear gloves, make sure the tools that you're using are clean.
So you just pull it out and wash
the roots. Yeah. You want to wash off any of the auger or any of the media, cause that could potentially bring new contamination. And then you can either put it in rooting blocks or rooting cubes.
Like a cocoa media, small pot.
Yep.
And grow it out.
Yep.
With climate,
with climate, you want to harden it off. So in tissue culture right now, it's about 100% humid. And you have to transition that humidity down as the plant starts to harden. So what we do is we have little humidity domes. We keep those plants in a humid environment and we have vents at the top. So we start to open it after 1 week, after 2 weeks, let that humidity go down, let the plant harden, and then we transition into a mother room or into your veg room.
I mean, that sounds similar to regular clones though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, if you get it down to like a process.
Yeah. At the end of the day, this, you know, it's the same plant. We're just following a different protocol. And instead of growing in soil, we're growing in sugar.
Now, how old is this plant? When was this done? 7/11/24. So this is a 2 weeks.
2 weeks.
Yeah.
2 weeks old, and it was just a small node before.
Yep.
And then you would. This is shoots, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. So this is just no roots, just growing the plant in here.
Correct. The goal is to get as many nodes as possible.
Okay. And then you would.
How big was it when you put it in there?
Tiny.
It was just a little piece, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So in 2 weeks, it's grown quite a bit.
Yep.
And then I can see a node right here. So we would take that node mm-hmm. and we could put that in roots.
Yeah. So there's two approaches. You can put it in roots and transition it, or you can take some of those nodes and continue to run them in multiplication.
In more shoots.
Correct.
And then they would grow like this.
Correct. Generating more shoots, getting more clones. It all comes down to what your goal is, right? So the primary purposes for tissue culture within cannabis, I'd say, number one, are the regeneration of mother stock. We're seeing some growers have mothers around way too long, and some of those plants don't have the same THC or terpene levels, and they're just not as healthy as they can be. So being able to regenerate them from, you know, let's say it's 8-9 months, you can bring it back to a 1-year-old. Think of Benjamin Button, but reverse. The other is using tissue culture to remediate these plants. So a lot of the issues that we're seeing in cannabis today are because a lot of those plants are infected with something, and growers are starting to use tools and testing them out, but it hasn't really been widely adopted. So, you know, if you could increase your yields by 20-30%, I'd say that's pretty valuable. And it all comes down to testing and growing healthy crop.
Yeah. And I think I remember talking to Bruce Bugbee about this, and something interesting that he really said that stuck with me is, like, we all know what HLV is. We all know what, you know, these different viruses are, mm-hmm. but he goes, there's a lot more that we don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And this clears it out.
Yeah.
The don't know.
Yep.
I mean, your business is, you know, this is the foundation of your business.
This is the solution to a very large problem. And the thing is, it's not just with cannabis. We're seeing lettuce sclerosis virus. We're seeing tobacco mosaic virus. So all these viruses can cross to different species. So, you know, what affects cannabis can also affect other industries. So, you know, all the technology and knowledge and R&D that we're investing in tissue culture will benefit us just as a population, as the earth, so that we have solutions to these problems. We want to avoid potato famines, and we want to avoid Hops latent viroid infecting more crops.
Are you familiar with the Cavendish banana issue in the fungus? I forget the name of it.
Relatively, yes.
So I think they use tissue culture, because all bananas are, that's why we get the nice yellow yep. banana, right? It's all the same. Mm-hmm. And they're using tissue culture for that.
Mm-hmm.
But then they've got this fungus that's wiping it out. And there's concern that that banana species will be gone in a decade or something.
Mm-hmm.
How come they can't solve it?
It's a great question. Well, if I knew that, I might win the Nobel Prize.
Yeah, okay.
But
we're not there yet.
I think one challenge that we have, at least with banana propagation, is we're mass producing the same varieties, and that same variety might be susceptible to the same fungus or
that's
the same
the problem.
Disease.
Yeah.
That's, yeah. So whether or not you agree with it, you know, CRISPR and genetically modifying some of these crops is one way that growers have been able to solve certain issues, right? Developing plants and trees that are resistant to higher temperatures, that are resistant to certain fungus. You have fusarium resistant plants. So being able to identify some of those risks and create certain strains or species that can be resistant, I think, is one approach. Another is, you know, given that the banana is suffering a lot of potential diseases and fungal contamination, having backups in tissue culture is really what saves us, because while we have, you know, hundreds of millions of bananas planted in fields, we still have those genetics backed up in a lab. So in the worst case scenario, if something were to happen to a majority of those banana crops, we would be able to grow them again. We would just have to learn how to adapt. And whether that's growing indoors or adapting a nursery or a greenhouse away from those contaminated zones, if you will, that tissue culture gives us a solution, or gives us a way to avoid the catastrophe of losing bananas forever. And I think the same goes for cannabis. Like right now,
the data is, you know, 70 to 90% of growers have hops latent viroid. I mean, it's a cancer right now. And I don't think if we don't solve it, right, if we don't clean up a lot of these crops, we're not going to see these genetics exist in the next 5-10 years, or they won't exist in the way that we know them, right? Hops latent viroid can decrease your THC levels 10, 20, 30%. Your terpene percentages will drop drastically, and then your plant will also just die. So what we're trying to do, and I think what Athena's doing a great job with their tissue culture kit, is introduce the masses to tissue culture, bring more brains, more people in, get them excited about the potential. And also, you know, more people just means more research. And so getting more people educated in the space and trained in the space gives us the opportunity to combat some of these issues. And hops latent viroid is just one. You know, there's going to keep, more and more viruses and viroids are going to keep coming, but we just need to know how to clean them up. And that's where, you know, apical meristem dissection is one solution. Nodal propagation is another solution. We're starting to develop more and more protocols around cleaning procedures.
I'm a very practical grower.
Sure.
Right. I mean, we're going through a lot in cultivation. There's a lot of things we have to deal with on a daily basis. Mm-hmm. So putting something new onto us, mm-hmm. where you're like, hey, now you got to deal with not only metric, not only taxes, not only all these different problems, but here you start doing tissue culture, mm-hmm. right? Here's another step to your process or your facility. Like, really honestly, how difficult or how big of a lift
sure.
is, you know, with the Athena tissue culture kit mm-hmm. and this new media that we're partnering on, mm-hmm. right? This is the new media that Athena will be offering. We're eliminating our old media and mm-hmm. we're going with plant cell technology media. Mm-hmm. We've seen a huge, I mean, this is 2 weeks old. This is amazing. Yeah. Like a huge benefit with your guys' media. On a bandwidth and a lift, like realistically, what are we looking at for somebody in the cloning room to legitimately buy a Athena TC kit with this new media and get going? What's the bandwidth, week, maybe hours of time that it would take to really put towards having a legitimate, you know, tissue culture lab, or rejuvenating your genetics that you currently have to take those and make those into mothers? What's the, you know, kind of time?
Sure. Yeah. So I think there are a few variables that go into this. And, you know, just by starting off, the reason why I think it's taken us 5 years to get to where we are today, where a company like Athena is investing in a tissue culture kit, is because, you know, science is not easy, right? It's an art. It takes time, takes a lot of patience. And it's one of those industries where you have to fail a lot until you start to see results. And so what we're trying to do with this media and with the education that we're putting out is give people the skills and the confidence that they need to succeed. And so when a grower first gets started, they might be intimidated by the cost of setting up a lab, the cost of purchasing consumables, and the cost of hiring a technician to do it. What I'd say is, let's just be thankful that it's not 20 years ago, because now we have a tissue, we have an Athena kit. You can buy a flow hood for $24.99? What's it?
$2,000.
$2,000. Yeah. So you can buy a flow hood for $2,000.
I mean, everything and all your accessories.
And all your media, accessories. 20 years ago?
You can buy your
10,000, 20,000.
Autoclave, your flow hood. And realistically, I mean, I look at it like I have a 70,000 square foot greenhouse in Nevada. I have no problem using that's what I would buy.
Yeah.
Cause you don't need a big, huge flow hood to really do this. Am I right there? I mean,
well, yeah, it comes down to scale, right? So starting off, absolutely. I think it's the perfect kit, and, you know, mastering the skill of tissue culture. Eventually, you know, if you're producing millions and millions of plants, you want to start to scale up from there.
Obviously.
But
say I'm a cultivator and I want to rejuvenate my mother stock.
Absolutely.
And make sure that they're virus clean and not use it for a heavy production.
Yeah.
I mean, a $2,000.
Perfect.
$2,000 investment.
How many moms do you have out there?
We've got about 40 genetics, mm-hmm. 12 are active, 12 to 15 are active, mm-hmm. and the rest are in testing because we're always pheno hunting. We're always mm-hmm. testing. So 40 on the list right now, but you know, we've got to send them to the lab, get the THC tests, see how they yield, you know, do all the work. But you know, our goal is to have at least, you know, 15 to 30 inactive, mm-hmm. right? Which the bandwidth to do, you know,
it's not that many moms actually.
It's not. It's well, not. No, that's not that many genetics, but yeah. moms, we probably got, I don't know, maybe 500 moms.
That's a lot.
That's a lot.
But we use smaller moms, you know.
What, how big is the mother room out of curiosity?
4,000 square feet.
That's huge.
Yeah, that's the mother room.
So to your question or to your point earlier, when, you know, people are hesitant to get started in tissue culture, I guess here's the framework that I like to look into. I guess the first question is, how much would it cost you if your top three selling strains no longer existed? You know, what does that mean to the bottom line? The second question I would ask is, how much does it cost to pheno hunt? You know, how much time is spent and what's the effort dedicated to that? The third is how much, you know, square footage. You said 4,000 square feet for a mother room. What would it mean if you can cut that in half? And what would it mean if you could eliminate that altogether, both from a cost standpoint and a efficiency standpoint of the facility? You know, if that became a veg room or if that became a production facility or a production room. And the last question I'd say is, what, you know, what does your operation look like in 5 years or 10 years if you have to start over with your genetics, right? You don't have your top 40 strains anymore. And the reason I ask these questions is not necessarily just to scare people, but to share the reality that with the industry as it is today, you will inevitably catch some virus or some bacteria that will harm your genetics. And tissue culture is the only way to clean that up, the only way to back up those genetics, and the only way to really keep and preserve the THC levels, the terpene levels that perform best. And the last thing I'd say is, you know, what does a 20 to 30% increase in yield look like? You know, how does that affect your bottom line? And the reason I say 20 to 30% is, on average, plants with, whether it's Fusarium or Botrytis or hops latent viroid, are underperforming.
Or what you don't know.
Or what you don't know.
Yeah. Or what we don't know as yeah. what's in the plant, a virus that we're not testing for.
And you know, we don't want consumers smoking that either or yeah. ingesting that either. So it's like I said, I think it's an inevitability. It's not an if, it's a when. And you know, what I think Athena is doing great at and what, you know, our mission is to make this as accessible as possible to people. We want people to not be afraid to dive into the science and to learn. And that's why we've developed tons and tons of videos and research and information so that people can learn. We also have our master classes where we have an intensive. We teach people across 24 to 36 hours how to operate in a tissue culture lab, how to build a tissue culture lab, what's the background. Because right now, I mean, if you wanted to get into tissue culture, you probably have to get a master's degree. You have to go to university and you probably have to invest $250,000, which a lot of people can't afford.
Right, but is it really that necessary?
No.
No.
And I'm not saying college is not necessary. I'm not saying getting a degree is not, but I think it's more of a trade skill and it's something that you can learn and it's something that you can get better at. And the only way to get better at it is having the opportunity. And so right now you have this catch 22 where I have to get a degree to work in a lab, but to work in a lab, I need a degree. So there's no opportunity for people to enter the space without that. And so that's where these classes come in is, you know, collecting the knowledge and actually getting the practice, working under a flow hood, practicing aseptic technique and testing different formulas so you can get comfortable with the process.
Robert, what's that? I was going to ask what that learning curve is like. Like, you know, from start to finish, somebody comes in never having done tissue culture, yeah. right? But maybe a really talented grower.
Yeah.
Because one thing I've noticed is, you know, you're growers and then in the tissue culture world, it's technicians. Mm-hmm. It's a different discipline, mm-hmm. right? If I'm ignorant, I don't know anything about mm-hmm. it, get the kit, let's say, start off, maybe go to one of your classes. How long does it take for me to become competent sure. enough to actually not just have success of not contaminating something? That's one step, right? Yeah. But actually doing something good where I can be confident that I've preserved a strain or something like that.
Sure. So I think of the 80-20 model where, you know, 80% of the skills that you need can be learned fairly quickly. And that extra 20% is where things can become challenging. So I'd say the 80% of tissue culture, you know, learning basic nodoculture, shoots and roots, being able to create the media, learning how to practice aseptic technique and working under a flow hood. That's like baking a cake, right? Following instructions and practice. The hardest aspect, I'd say, of tissue culture, or the most difficult part, is meristem dissection. That's where it takes a lot of hand-eye coordination and skill. But what we've seen at our masterclass is by day three, everybody nailed it, right? It's a lot of people nowadays are visual learners. So being able to see somebody do it and repeat the process is super important. But like anything, like riding a bike or throwing a baseball, you got to practice. And the more you practice, the better you'll get. So the main challenge I think beginners will have when getting started with tissue culture is just troubleshooting, right? Troubleshooting comes with experience. So, oh, the leaves look a little vitrified, which means there's too much ethylene gas. So how do we fix that? We can vent the containers. Or there's a little browning. So there might be a ratio that's off, or the light's too strong. So some of those challenges that growers might face are more likely to be solved with experience and with support. So that's where we have, you know, customer support lines, consulting, and, you know, we're able to really provide that extra lift. But when it comes to the actual skills and working in the lab, it's a practice makes perfect. And anybody with any level of experience can learn. You know, we've seen individuals that have never worked in a lab in their life. We've seen individuals who've dabbled, and they've all been able to excel in the space. Obviously, some people are better than others, but sorry for the long answer.
No. Rob, I know you and I, when we were first starting this partnership a long time ago, we talked. And we were talking about offering free training through plant cell technology when a customer buys an Athena kit. Is that still active? What's that look like?
Yeah. New kit purchase. We'll do a couple things actually. So new kits come with a 30-minute consult with one of their consultants.
Mm-hmm. Free.
Free. Free. Yeah. It's included in the kit. And a lot of that, as we've discussed, is understanding how that customer wants to use tissue culture in their facility, right? So it's not just how to do the thing. Because our procedure, you can follow the procedure, and like Dankham's Hunter, he got a kit, followed the procedure, and had, I think, 60-70% success from scratch, never having done it his first round, learned a few things, second round got 80-90% and improved from there, right? So the procedure is good enough to kind of get you off the ground. So this 30-minute consult is more about understanding, why are you using TC?
And how can you use it? How do you
integrate it into your grow, exactly, right? So that's a super important part. Like, why are you doing this? If it's just a hobby, that's one thing. Cool, you can learn that. Mm-hmm. But we have to save some genetics, right?
And absolutely.
Make some more money. So the second part is, you know, we've already, you know, have a lot of people that are using the kit, and we don't want to leave them neglected. And so we're going to be doing a monthly, for all those customers, a monthly webinar with the PCT guys.
That's awesome.
To kind of bring them up to speed. And I'm sure that more will evolve as we kind of dig into this and see what the needs actually are. But we want to have that webinar. It's, you know, needs to be a bit interactive. There's a lot of questions that come up. So we'll be doing that, you know, over the next few months.
And how will they hear about it? We'll just post it on Instagram or something.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. We'll probably do an email blast as well. We can't get everybody that way. So we'll email anybody that we know has purchased, but people that have maybe purchased through a store have to, you know,
through distributors probably too,
and
right?
Word of mouth, you know, it'll have to be some of that. Yeah.
Yoni, you were mentioning that 30% yield increases. Now, is that coming from some kind of customer experience, or where is that number coming from?
Yeah, so the number, so we have a customer who's used tissue culture to remediate a lot of their plants, and their plants were underperforming because they were sick, right? They had certain fungal infections that were decreasing yield. So
did they even have HLV?
I think they had Fusarium and Botrytis. Which can also affect the yields, but through, you know, remediation and through propagation of all their moms and eventually tissue culture clones working their way into the veg room, they were able to see a yield increase of 20-30%. Now, I use those numbers from one example, but the main, you know, I want to kind of specify that tissue culture and the act of tissue culture is not what's increasing the yield.
what's increasing the yield is cleaning up the plant, right? The plant should normally produce at that level, but we're seeing decreased yields just because the plants aren't at peak performance. They're not the healthiest that they can be. And so we're trying to take the same approach that the pharmaceutical industry is using, whether they're producing aspirin or ibuprofen, and growing that same plant over and over again, extracting those enzymes consistently and getting a good result. We want that for cannabis too, where cannabis growers can get the same yield every single time, the same THC levels, the same terpene levels consistently. And the way to do that is through clean product.
Now, with this new media that you're making for Athena, what's the backstory? And you're making a lot of different medias, right?
Yeah.
For a lot of different plants.
Yep.
And every media is completely different.
Yep.
You know, so when you're talking about a blueberry media, it's not going to be the same as a cannabis media.
Mm-hmm.
How did you guys develop this, and like, what's the backstory on it?
Yeah, it's a great question. It's about, I keep tying it back, but about 5-6 years ago, right around the farm bill being passed, there was this hemp craze, and we decided to dive in head first. And this is where I first met Francisco Palacios, who's now our lab director. He was using our products, using PPM. And this kind of ties to one of your points earlier about hobbyist growers, but he was, you know, selling carnivorous plants to help, you know, pay for education, just pay for a lifestyle. And we built a hemp lab and we built a tissue culture lab back in North Carolina, and we really struggled, right? 5-6 years ago, it took a lot of failures and a lot of repetitions for us to really start to figure out the right formulas. And over the last couple of years, what we've done is we've worked with some of the leading technicians and minds in the space. Cannabis has been very secretive, at least within the tissue culture space, comparative to other industries. And, you know, I just want to highlight a couple people that we've worked with over the years, but, you know, David Kritzer, who also goes by Shiner, Bill Graham, the godfather of cannabis tissue culture.
Yeah, he's a legend.
And then, of course, Greg Borstelman, who was, you know, integral in developing this media. But through our research and development capabilities and our incubation platform, we combined the knowledge of some of the leading technicians in running a number of factorial trials. I mean, we've tested 30 to 100 different strains. We've tried every media combination you can imagine. We've tested every plant growth regulator there is under the sun. And like I said, it's been a culmination of 5 years of work and a lot of failure, but failure is where you learn. And we've been able to find the right formulas, adapt some of the components, for example, from the orchid industry, where a lot of orchids are also using charcoal, and create this media that we've seen perform wonders. So we're very excited about it. It's been a lot of R&D in-house and a lot of testing. But the culmination of what we have today is really what we're excited to put out to our customers and Athena customers, of course.
Yeah. I mean, it blows our media. I mean, it just is what it is.
Yeah.
You know? It's the best I've ever seen.
Yeah.
And that's why we're on the same team.
It's pretty amazing. I mean, some of the time lapses that you first sent to us when we first started talking was like some kind of joke. Three weeks. I mean, the thing that was impactful to me when I saw that was the difficulty of production that I've seen is the lag between when you do the actual work of the TC to when that plant actually goes into, you know, a flowering room, right? Mm-hmm. And it was such a long period of time because the TC part took 6, 8, 12 weeks to get a plant ready for it. Way too long. You can't schedule that out, you know, because there's hiccups and grows and, you know, the scheduling is just the difficult part.
Mm-hmm.
But with this media, it's like 2 to 3 weeks. You've got a plant that's ready to be hardened off. That's cloning time.
Yeah.
So now it's like we're used to that timeline. We can do this now, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's pretty profound.
So the total timeline you can expect with this is a, you know, conservatively 3 to 4 weeks on shoots and then 3 to 4 weeks in roots. So you're looking about 6 to 8 week process
Far off from clone.
Yeah.
From,
it's right there.
From a little, just a little.
From nubby. A small shoot tip. Yeah. That's the goal.
That's so crazy.
We want tissue culture to be accessible and functional within a commercial operation. And a lot of people are doing it. We just need to disseminate that knowledge and of course provide the training that we're going to be providing to growers to help with the nuances. Cause there's always little things that can be a game changer.
So you mentioned the charcoal.
Mm-hmm.
One thing, you know, we had those pretty colors, the dyes.
Yeah. The dye. Yeah. It didn't work out.
It didn't work.
No. Well, we thought, just be honest.
We thought it was necessary and we were, you know, we're not the experts. We saw a need. We looked to fill it. And with the media, which is the really challenging part, mm-hmm. you know, both from a development standpoint as well as a manufacturing standpoint, mm-hmm. you're talking extremely small quantities of very critical ingredients that if you mess it up, it's messed up, right?
Yeah.
So we put the dye in to distinguish between roots and shoots. Mm-hmm. It had no other function, stained the plants in some cases and things like that.
It works. Our media works.
It works.
Just not as good as yours.
I'm wondering though, with the charcoal, because that's gonna be a change for people seeing sure. the different color. The charcoal seems to be a pretty critical mm-hmm. ingredient. Can you speak to
absolutely.
Why that's in there, what it does?
Yeah, sure. So I think first and foremost, what I'll say is the advantages of charcoal, I'd say outweigh the potential advantages of using dye. So first is absorption of impurities. So what charcoal does is it has a high absorption capacity. So any of the impurities, phenolic compounds, and toxic metabolics that are released by the plant will be absorbed by that charcoal. Secondly, it can help proliferate better shoot and root growth. So charcoal supports the growth of the plant and can mimic soil. So creating that dark environment that helps roots grow. It's also great for enhancing light conditions. So it absorbs a lot of the excess light and reduces some of the reflections within the vessel. So allowing the plant to really get favorable lighting conditions for growing tissue. So I have a list of at least 6-7 benefits of charcoal. And, you know, what we did is really looked at how the orchid industry has utilized charcoal in a lot of their medias. And it's been instrumental in allowing the orchid industry to become the multi-billion dollar industry that it is today. And so now what we're doing is applying the same thing to cannabis.
With the plant preservative, which is in this new Athena media that we're doing.
Well, PPM is something that you would add to the media. Okay. It's not included in the media.
Okay. But you can add it to this
Correct.
Media. And what does that prevent? Does that eliminate the need to use a flow hood?
That's great. Yeah. So, about 30 years ago, we put it in a Minnesota listserv that, you know, hey, we found a solution using PPM and you don't need to use a flow hood. And people thought we were crazy. You know, this is like burn the witch at the stake kind of thing. And at that time, there were a few professors that were interested in testing it out. So what I would say is, can you use PPM to eliminate the need for a flow hood? Yes. Would I recommend it? No. So you would have to use quantities, you know, very, very high quantities. But let's not get into that. What I would say is PPM is an extra form of insurance. So when you have your flow hood, you're cleaning out any potential contaminants and bacteria, right? The air is pushing itself out. It's pushing it all out. The biggest risk with contamination is humans. It's us. It's crossing your arms. It's dead skin. It's moving around in a way. So what PPM does is it suppresses any fungal or bacterial contamination from ever being able to grow. So by the time you transfer that plant out, you're not worried about that plant dying from potential contaminants, because the media that we developed and most media within tissue culture is very, very rich in nutrients. Think of fertilizer and then multiply it by 3 or 4 times. That's why we're getting such crazy multiplication rates. So the plants are competing with fungus and bacteria for those nutrients. And so as long as we can suppress or eliminate any of those contaminants from competing with the plant will grow perfectly. And so the biggest challenge in the tissue culture space has been contamination. And what PPM has done is it's provided growers all over the world with all different types of labs and levels of equipment to be able to be successful, whether you're in Pakistan, whether you're in the United States, or whether you're in Sudan. It's been a product that's allowed growers to pursue tissue culture and move forward in tissue culture without the challenges and failures that come from contaminants. So back to your question, would I recommend it? No. Is it possible? And have we run tests? Yes, we have been able to do tissue culture outside of a flow hood using PPM, but your best shot is by using the flow hood, and the Athena flow hood's great for that.
Use the flow hood with the PPM.
Correct.
I mean, that's, you're probably,
yeah,
it's the insurance policy.
Absolutely.
What kind of normal guys using it, let's say not in a lab, so mm-hmm. you're not a purpose-built lab, let's
sure.
call it, right?
Because hobbyists.
Yeah, because purpose-built, you've got all sorts of filtration. It's pretty good. Mm-hmm. But what do you see if I take 1,000, samples, let's say, what's my percentage of typical failure out there? What should people expect?
Without PPM or with PPM?
Both. Yeah. I'm just curious, what's the delta there?
Well, without, you can have contamination rates of, you know, 30-40%. And this, what I'm saying here is, you know, if you don't have the aseptic technique mastered, or if you're just getting started, you might have 50% contamination rates, right? It's a very, like riding a bike, it's something that requires practice. But with PPM, you know, you can expect 5, maybe 10%, if that, contamination rates. And then some, a majority of the professional commercial labs that we work with have contamination rates of zero, with the support of PPM. And this is in, you know, emerging markets, developing countries that don't have the same, air filtration, reverse osmosis filters, and level of equipment that some of the top labs in the world have. So this is just an extra device. But even some of the top of the line companies, you know, you have U.S. Department of Agriculture, you have university institutions like Cornell and North Carolina State and Driscoll's and PepsiCo that are benefiting from this product and using this product. So it crosses all boundaries, whether you're a hobbyist or whether you're a professional or commercial lab. And with most hobbyists, like Plants and Jars, for example, she's done a great job. She's been able to build and scale a huge business, growing plants and tissue culture and eventually selling those houseplants. And I think PPM has been a very integral part of that process.
This, with this media coming out of the autoclave, how long is this good for sitting here?
Yeah. So, you know, I'd say anywhere from 6 months to a year. You could potentially have some evaporation of the water, which is one risk that you run if you, you know, continue to have that media sit on the shelf, and then you might have some degradation of some of the chemical compounds. But, you know, standardly after autoclaving, you can use it up to 6 months, I'd say, to be safe.
And say with the new shoots media, mm-hmm. How long can a grower expect, to leave a tissue culture, in there for?
Yeah. So we want to transfer the plant before it starts to outgrow the container. So I'd say every 3 to 4 weeks, you're going to start to transition that plant out. What I will say is it's really strain dependent. Some strains grow a lot better than others. Some strains grow faster than others. And each strain has its own response. So I think it's going to come down to measuring the performance of each of your strains and building a schedule off of that. But I'd say anywhere from 3 to 4 weeks and no more than 4 to 6 weeks before you want to actually transition that plant into either more multiplication or into rooting.
Okay. So max 6 weeks.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, with regards to at home hobbyists versus scale, what do you see, you know, the benefits of each for a home tissue culture or versus, you know, large scale manufacturer?
Sure. So it all comes down to what your goals are and what the desire is. Commercial manufacturers, for the most part, are trying to produce as much as possible, right? Whether it's as many orchids as possible or as many cannabis plants as possible. For hobbyists, it really depends. So there are individuals, like I mentioned, Plants and Jars, who's working on cultivating and propagating her favorite plants, often rare plants, variegated plants, plants with very unique patterns and textures. And the best way to do that is tissue culture. There are some hobbyists who just want to, instead of sell the plants, just grow more plants for their own house. So, hey, I don't want to spend $40 on a Monstera. I can grow it myself, and I can grow 50 of them, and I can grow 100 of them. So it comes down to your desire and it comes down to your goals. The advantage that exists now that really wasn't a thing 10, 15 years ago is we have products like the Athena Tissue Culture Kit. We have accessible equipment that allows a hobbyist to be successful. And, you know, before you would have to work through very expensive commercial manufacturers, and you might not even be able to purchase equipment from some of these companies. But, you know, of course, for research purposes only, we're providing product at the highest quality that's available to your Driscoll's and will also be available to your scientists. And one quick thing I'll note on that is right around 2020 during COVID, we saw a lot of people doing bread starters or, you know, learning how to do tricks at home or dances on TikTok. And there was a whole subsegment of people building micro labs.
So those are home growers, hobbyists, plant enthusiasts who are interested in doing tissue culture and learning and in understanding how tissue culture could change their lives, whether it's growing their own plants or starting their own plant businesses. And what we've seen now is an explosion of these micro labs, people that are interested in tissue culture, posting about tissue culture, sharing their research and insights. And that's just bringing the whole industry up because we have more individuals that are passionate about the science. And I think it benefits all of us to continue to provide access and equipment to the hobbyists.
Yeah, 100%. Rob, you're working on the rollout of the new media. What are dates and what are we doing for the consumers that already bought kits?
Yeah, well, new product rollouts are always a little tenuous on production. You know, it's a complex product to make, both from the product itself, but also the packaging. So we're just exiting the initial stage of production. We got to put it into our sachets and do some of the packaging side. That's going to actually only be about maybe a few weeks, 2-3 weeks. And then getting into distribution stuff. So we're looking at probably about, 3 to 4 weeks, I would say. We should have this new media available for sale. Then we've got to get it out to our dealer network and distributors and whatnot. Because a lot of people have been buying our media, and now we're going to roll out something new. Anybody that's purchased the media, in recent months, and hasn't gone through it, we're going to send brand new of the new media out to them so they can ditch the old stuff and start with the new stuff.
So we're giving out free media to anybody that bought a tissue culture kit.
Correct. Yeah. Or the individual media as well. So, and this will be another one of those, it's kind of difficult because some people buy through dealers, so we don't always know who bought it. So we've got to put some posts out and hopefully everybody can, hey, I got some, let me get some replaced. Right. So we'll have to go through some of that. But the important thing is we want this in the hands of people because it's so far superior that they've got a great kit, but if they don't have the great media, then they're not going to have that success. And to Yoni's point, like it's this practice and the replication to really have success. So you got to have the media. So we want to get a lot of people using this because I think there's a learning curve too, right? Mm-hmm. And that knowledge sharing is super important. Like how do you use the media? Mm-hmm. And so we want to make sure that everybody has it. So we'll be doing a big campaign. It'll take a few months, to kind of get that through everyone.
Yeah. No, it's going to be good.
It'll be cool to see what people do with this.
I'm excited.
It really is. Because it's those time lapses, and I don't know if we've posted one yet, but the time lapses are pretty bonkers when you see how fast it grows in that little tube, just like 2 weeks, and it's filling out that tube.
Yeah.
So I'm excited to see people messing with this, seeing that success, and then adding PPM and reducing that. Because there's nothing more heartbreaking than doing all this work. You're in the microscope and trying to get it all. You go through all this effort, and then you see that mold start to...
It's the worst.
And you're like, you feel like you've just spun your wheels, So, it's going to be fun seeing a lot of the response from the market.
We were also going to discontinue our vessels, right? What vessels do you recommend or what are we going with?
Is it those ones?
Not these ones. So I sent some to Dylan. They're somewhere in the facility, but we have, vented test tubes, which are, I'd say, the greatest place to start. So two things that can be a challenge with cannabis. First off is the buildup of ethylene gas. It tends to happen a lot with cannabis, and that's where you have hyperhidrosity or vitrification. So these vented test tubes, number one, prevent that. And number two, allow you to get those trial runs, because if that one little shoot gets contaminated, you only lost one. When if you're using a larger container, for example, you have four nodes in that container. If one of those gets contaminated, the whole neighborhood's gone. So what we like to tell a lot of growers or people getting started is start with the test tubes, right? Get comfortable with the procedure. And once you can see that your contamination rates are low enough, you can start to put four or five nodes in a container. So that's where the advantages come in. Starting with the vented tissue culture containers, then working your way into either the square culture vessels or the round snap blocks.
Do you have the new... The new culture vessels. You don't have those here. Oh shoot. Okay.
It's okay.
We'll have to, we'll do post it on post.
And we'll get them sent over. So you guys will have plenty.
Yeah. So we're not going to be selling those. Actually, we're just referring over, go get them from PCT. They've already got these in stock. That's for them to handle.
Yeah.
Question. You keep using this word, vitrification.
Yeah.
And what was it?
Hyperhidrosity. It's the same thing.
What is that first? Those are new words, right?
Yeah.
And then what does it look like? How does somebody know what that means?
Yeah. So vitrification, it's a buildup of ethylene gas. So basically the cannabis plant doesn't love very high humidity and wants ventilation in tissue culture, especially because there's a lot of macro and micronutrients that are being fed to the plant. So it needs air to be able to filter and release. So, what you'd see with a lot of vitrified plants is dying leaves. The plant looks unhappy and kind of sad. It's a little shriveled up. It's pretty easy to tell, and we can put together a series of pictures to say, like, this is what you should look for if you're seeing vitrification. At the end of the day, we want the cannabis to grow. We want it to look like it would look in soil for the most part in tissue culture. So big, thick leaves, healthy and happy, thick stems. So it's pretty easy to tell. And the issue that we see with vitrification is the plant isn't going to grow as healthy or happily as it would if it had that ventilation. So we're happy to show kind of the before and after, or the differences between the two. And we're also doing some research on the back end to see if there are ways to reverse vitrification, right? Can we have a plant that's vitrified and actually fix that? So that's something that we're working on as well.
So you would recommend any new cannabis grower that wants to do tissue culture to do vented?
Sorry, say that again?
You would recommend any new cannabis grower to do vented?
Yeah.
Vented vessels.
Yeah. So we have the vented culture lids, and then we also have filters for our regular, like, round snap lock containers and square culture vessels, which you can manually vent. You can take your scalpel and press it and put a filter on it.
Okay. So they could take the Athena vessel.
Yeah.
And drill.
Yep. They can ventilate it.
And ventilate it themselves.
And we'll make sure they have access to those filters.
So. And you could put the filter in the autoclave.
Yep.
No problem.
Yep. Okay. I'd recommend replacing the filter every 2 to 3 cycles, just to be safe. But yeah, I would recommend venting lids for when using, specifically when growing cannabis.
Are those filters special? Are they like a one way?
It's a 0.2 micron filter.
It's a
one way, but yeah, it's a small filter. They're really cheap. We're also not in the business of selling filters. We just want people to be successful. So it's another accessory that people can use for containers that aren't vented, but we are also working on developing, special vented containers that are larger.
Got it. Just important, the small microns.
Absolutely.
Regarding your guys' classes, what is like the expense to take a full class to where somebody could go into a facility and start running a lab?
Yeah, so our classes start at about $5,000. And this is a class that we have is for people that want to invest in the knowledge and invest in the skills. So we've had students take our class and actually get jobs at different facilities doing tissue culture. When I say $5,000, that's kind of the standard price, but of course we have, you know, corporate discounts. If we do classes for a facility or a specific grow, there are different, you know, volume based discounts. But what we're doing with these classes is giving a 360 perspective of the biology and the physiology of the plants, right? What's the science behind it? Then the actual hands-on experience of making media, testing different formulations, learning how to make aqueous solutions with plant growth regulators, right? We're giving you the nuts and bolts that you need. Fortunately, with the Athena media, this is a dehydrated culture media. And what that means is it contains the gelling agent, contains the PGRs, it contains the macro and micronutrients, it contains the sugars. So you don't really have to mix up and add all these different components in this media. So with our classes, it's really providing them with the full rubric of what they need to do in order to experiment for themselves. And what we've done is we've created a shortcut. So they're both great. And what I'd say for the classes too, and the biggest kind of pain point that people have is, I get the concept, but how do I do it, right? I want to get my hands on it. I want to be under a flow hood. I want to actually practice meristem dissection. And they don't want to necessarily buy thousands of dollars of equipment just to learn. So we provide the full lab. You know, you walk in, you take the class, you get all the experience that you need. And you're also with a community of other growers who are interested in tissue culture, who are investing in tissue culture. So, you know, part of what we do is build a community. and build a community of people that love tissue culture and that are interested in pursuing that for cannabis and other cultivars and other plants. So connecting those people and creating an industry where people can share their advice, they can share their challenges, and they can network is really another aspect of that class. So it's the learning component, it's the actual hands-on practice, and it's, of course, the community at the end of the day.
With that class, you're teaching how to do Meristem?
Yes.
Okay, and by the end of that $5,000 class?
We want you to be an expert, yes.
Okay.
We want you to master it. Now, I'm not going to guarantee that every person has the hand-eye coordination for it, right? But with enough practice, I believe you can get it.
And at the end of the $5,000 class?
Yes.
That's huge.
Yeah.
Yeah. And how long is that class?
3 days.
3 days.
Yeah.
And they fly out?
They fly out. We actually just recently did one on 420 in Las Vegas. So we have a West Coast location and our headquarters in DC. And it's about 8 to 9 hours a day. Every day they come in, they learn, we feed them. We make sure that, you know, they have what they need to stay at the lab. But it's really intensive to get as much education and knowledge as possible. And, you know, the education doesn't stop after the class. So you leave the class, you still have questions, you email us, we'll answer it, we'll take care of you. You're part of our network. So we're trying to make sure that our growers are successful in the long run. And I think a lot of people right now in the industry, whether they're consultants or whether their other courses, are focused on, okay, you paid the ticket, thanks, goodbye. But for us, you know, we've been in business as long as we have because of the relationships we've created with our businesses. And in, you know, through teaching how to use our product successfully and through providing that education, we're able to create a long-term relationship, which is what we're interested in. The $5,000 is great, but at the end of the day, we're more interested in the value of tissue culture being successful for your operation. And that's how we succeed.
I mean, if you really break it down, 1 weekend and $5,000.
Yeah, for 9 hours a day, that's pretty...
Well, and you come out of there just like doing Meristem tissue culture.
Yeah.
I mean, it's...
So that guy comes out of it, let's say, has that knowledge, maybe not a lot of experience, but he's got the knowledge, right? Practice, goes to get a job. One of the difficult things in cultivation is when you hire let's say a head grower, is knowing if they actually know what the hell they're talking about, right? Mm-hmm. It's hard to prove that. So how do you see kind of both directions? How does somebody who has that knowledge prove that they are capable of maybe running or setting up a TC program?
Sure.
And then on the other side, how does the business owner, whether it's a cultivator or a finance guy or somebody that, you know, how do they know that the person coming in is actually going to be able to do a good job? How would you validate that?
That's a good question. How would you validate that? Well, I think with some growers, it's, can they succeed, right? Here's the task at hand. We need you to regenerate their mother stock. We have 20 strains and, you know, here's your equipment, here's your facility, go. And the growers that, you know, I have a few growers, I just spoke with one out in Las Vegas, took the class, he's running their facility now. So I think it comes down to proof of concept and being able to actually demonstrate your abilities. I think from a management standpoint, of course, there's a bit of leap of faith, right? And there's a little bit of trust, but results don't take that long, right? If they know what they're doing, you're going to see results within the first 3-4 weeks, at least from shoots. And with rooting, you're going to see results within another 3-4 weeks. So it's not an investment where you bring somebody on and you have to wait a year to see if they're able to do it. No, you'll know very, very soon if they can do it and you'll see the results. And it comes from a management standpoint, it comes down to tracking and measurements. What are your goals? And building a schedule of expectations with your technician. And from there, being able to map out what the plan is. And if that plan is not meeting those metrics, then you got to hire somebody else. So it really comes down to planning, the organizational skills, and of course, proof of concept, which is execution.
I've heard mixed comments on HLV and tissue culture. Heard that it eliminates or pulls out or grow, you know, eliminates HLV. And then I've heard it doesn't.
Yeah.
What's the facts?
Great question. people ask this a lot. So one issue that we see with tissue culture becoming normalized, at least in the cannabis space, is as soon as it becomes a buzzword, a lot of people jump onto the bandwagon because they see green, right? They see an opportunity to make money. And we've seen certain individuals in the industry claim to be doing tissue culture when in reality they're not. So for example, they might say they're doing an apical meristem dissection, but it's a lateral meristem. So with the research, and you know, we've worked with a number of testing companies as well that test for hops, we've seen successful remediation procedures, but it takes time and it takes a lot of testing. So for example, we would do an apical meristem dissection. We would wait the, you know, 5, 6 to 8 weeks for it to start to grow out. We'd take tissue samples, we'd test it, and then 2 weeks later, we'd test it again. So there are certain procedures and protocols that are necessary to follow in order to really guarantee that something is clean. And I think people are cutting corners because they can, and because of this hype around tissue culture being the solution, they take advantage of that. So the truth is, yes, taking the apical meristem and, you know, combining some of the other technology that we have with cryotherapy and thermotherapy can in fact remediate any cannabis plant from, you know, Fusarium, Botrytis, Hops latent viroid, and many of the other contaminants that plague cannabis. But that being said, we have to be very careful about what we call, you know, an apical meristem dissection versus a lateral meristem dissection versus just taking a small tip. So it's the knowledge that people need to have and the execution of that correctly that helps us actually remediate correctly. And it's difficult. It takes a lot of time. And so we don't recommend waiting to the last minute when your plants are infected and saying, oh, now we have to clean it up with tissue culture. That's the last resort. The first resort is having genetics backed up so you can regenerate your veg room or your mom's if you do have contamination problems, inevitably when you have contamination problems, right? So tissue culture is just another solution. And it's your really your last resort when it comes to remediation if you have a award-winning strain that you have no backups of and you want to save. But that's a long answer to your question. Yes, in fact, it can be cleaned up if done correctly.
With apical meristem, can you do it with that just alone?
Yes.
You can.
Sometimes you have to do it multiple times. So Okay. Sometimes you would have to do it once. And it depends on the viral load, right? Some plants might have a higher viral load than others. And you can work with certain companies. I know Tumi Genomics or Medicinal Genomics can run tests for that. So back to what I was saying, it depends on the viral load. So if it's a very high viral load, you might be able to do it in one meristem cycle. You might have to do two or three, which again, takes a lot of time and you don't want to use that as your, you know, survival mechanism for your facility. And then sometimes you can remediate it with one meristem dissection, you grow it out and you're good to go. But the main thing that I'd say, and I'd recommend for growers is take as many meristems as you can, because there is a failure rate with them, right? Not all of them are going to survive. And that's one of the challenges that you're dealing with. I mean, these are the newest cells, like high, fast regenerating stem cells that are not connected to the vascular tissue of the plant. So the likelihood of them being infected is very, very low or slim to none. With that being said, and because it is such a fine procedure, because there are risks with contamination and because it's a difficult process, you want to take as many as you possibly can. So we, in our last class, we did a meristem race. So we had the whole class, you know, on a timer to see who could do it fastest. And I think it was, yeah, the person who won did it in under 2 minutes. So once the skill is refined, it's easy to do.
2 minutes.
Yeah.
Cause that's hard. Have you seen it?
It's hard.
I've seen a little bit.
You're using a scalpel under a microscope to look at the top few cells and you have to like scrape it off, basically peel it back all the little parts around it and open it up until there's a little bundle of cells. And you're just using a scalpel under a microscope. And so like those movements are, I mean, I'm on a lot of caffeine right now. And so, yeah, I can imagine I wouldn't even be able to do it probably.
I mean, you can see the hypodermic needle. You can see inside the needles how small it is. But again, like anything, it's practice makes perfect, right? I think in the next 5-10 years, we'll develop robotics to do it. But right now, that skill is so imperative to this industry. And really, you know, meristem dissection is used in a lot of industries, like bananas. If you want to grow bananas at scale, you take the meristem. But a banana meristem is like this big. it's different. You can see it with your eyes versus the cannabis meristem. The apical meristem is very, 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 very tiny. and you need a good microscope for it.
So to be clear, because I know the question you asked is a good one. Can you get rid of HLV
yes.
with tissue culture? Yes, you can.
Yes, you can.
I think one of the misnomers I've heard is people think that tissue culture eradicates HLV, and that's not the case.
No.
You're actually, I guess, outgrowing it would probably be the best way to think about it. Because there's rules around it. If we were saying that we could kill HLV with tissue culture, the EPA would be breathing down our shorts.
Yeah.
That's not what it is, right? Yeah. It's that we're outgrowing it. We're getting that new leaf that hasn't had a chance to be contaminated to create that fresh aseptic sample.
Exactly.
That's the reality of it.
Exactly. And yeah. And again, when people say tissue culture can kill HLVD, it's like, what does that even mean? You know, are you talking about doing an apical meristem dissection? Are you talking about nodal culture? Are you talking about genetic banking?
Like nodal culture, it won't.
Right? Yeah.
It's the HLV is still going to be
correct.
With the plant.
Yeah, it's in the vascular tissue. But with nodal culture, you can remediate some of the surface contaminants and pathogens that you might have. And that, you know, that's a little bit easier than hops. I mean, hops is a viroid. Viroids are some of the hardest things to clean up, but it is possible and it has been done. I think the reason we're just not hearing about it as much is it hasn't been done at a large enough scale and not everybody has the skills. And that's one thing we're hoping to do is get as many people comfortable with this skill as possible, because I think that'll save the industry.
Do you have classes that are remote or online to do meristem tissue culture?
Great question. Yeah. So we do, we have online classes and we have a great setup where we have a camera under the flow hood. You can see everything that we're doing on two screens, both the hands acting, the, you know, 360 view of Francisco or whoever's teaching. Operating. I think the only thing that the grower would need is a microscope and the tools. And of course, a flow hood and aseptic technique. If you wanted to practice meristem outside of those conditions, just to learn the skills, you can definitely do it. So yes, we do have online classes.
What does that look like? Cause I mean, from just being real simple as a cultivator and I'm listening to this podcast, I'm gonna be like, you know what? I just want to take all my genetics that I have, my 40 genetics or, you know, 15 that are in rotation. I want to bring them back to meristem.
Yeah.
And I just want to do that class. I want to bring everything back. It'll cost me $2,500 for the kit. I can do it with shoots, right?
Mm-hmm.
How much is that class and what does that look like on online?
So we don't have a fixed price for the online cannabis class. What we're going to probably do is create first we have the free webinars and seminars for Athena customers and we're going to really start that to work out some of the nuances, how to troubleshoot, how to understand some of the skills. But we will be launching probably with the launch of the new media, we'll put together an online class. And I'll share the pricing structure and hours, but usually what we do with our online classes is it's 2 days. First day again is learning the background, the science, getting comfortable with the procedures, and day two is just practice. So what I would recommend for growers is, at least with meristem specifically, having a microscope and having tissue samples that you can work with. You know, you don't need to master the aseptic technique, at least under the conditions right away. I think getting the motor skills and getting comfortable with working with either hypodermic needles or scalpels is the first challenge. And then being able to do that in a sterile condition is the next challenge. So whether it's you as the grower or a technician or somebody that you plan to hire, that is something that we can definitely train. I would recommend in person over virtual, just by nature of having somebody next to you telling you this is right, this is wrong, this is the challenge. But what we've done and done pretty successfully, I'd say, is through Zoom, through these webinars, we've been able to train people all over the world. We've had, you know, customers in Jordan and Ecuador and Costa Rica and Germany and the Netherlands and Singapore and Thailand, all over the world taking the class at the same time. And it's pretty cool when you see at the beginning of the class, you ask people where they're from and they're from all over the world.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
What are some books that you would recommend for growers to read?
Plants from Test Tubes. That is by far the Bible for tissue culture. And my Bible, when I first got started in tissue culture, when I first started learning, that book breaks it down, makes it very easy to understand, and really has the basis of what you need to know. I think that combined with PCT's developed, at least for the last 4 years, we've put out blogs, research, different papers and different videos on every component of the tissue culture process, from how to make media to what are the macro and micro components that go into media to what are some challenges that happen and how to fix contamination. Like, we have a plethora of knowledge and a free library available for growers that is accessible. And the hope is, you know, with Athena and the partnership, we can continue to develop really high quality content around shoots and roots and around the nuances and how to use it, troubleshooting some of the challenges that may come with it. But really, there's so much information and knowledge available. So definitely Plants from Test Tubes. That's a great book. And I recommend some of the resources that we offer as well.
Yeah, I think that's why this partnership works so well. You were just here. You saw our RDWC SOP that we've been working on.
It's amazing.
On. I don't think people realize how many hours.
Hundreds of man hours. My God.
You've been leading that up.
Bro, it's crazy. There's so many. This is the problem with tissue culture too, is there's so much nuance.
Yeah.
Right. Even the way that you hold a vessel in the flow hood, if you hold it this way, you're going to block the air and so you can increase contamination. Right. So those simple nuances, and like a lot of it's learned, right? And so with our partnership with Tony Buckets, who's, you know, driven this, sometimes I'd ask him a question and he's like, I don't know, that's just kind of how I do it. And he didn't have a good explanation, but he knows it works because he's been doing it successfully for so long. So how do you translate that to somebody new? You can't like tell him, or you can't teach instinct, right?
Yeah.
So, it's hard. It's really difficult, but I'm hoping, because you guys have so much experience in this. I mean, that's why we wanted to partner with you, right? Is the experience that we lack. You know, we're good at making products and getting them around the world, you know? And you guys are really good at this particular niche. So I hope we can continue to develop a lot of really cool education, because I feel like that's the biggest thing. TC is intimidating.
Yeah.
And it doesn't need to be. It's actually not that complicated. You're right. But it does. It's like chess, easy to learn, difficult to master, right?
Yeah. I think they want you to think it's complicated because the universities want you to pay for degrees, right? Labs want to keep it insular because that's what makes it, you know, that's what makes the margin so high. That's what makes the, you know, dollar per hour for technicians so high. That's what, you know, by limiting the knowledge and keeping it small, I think the industry is able to control a lot of it. If it becomes, and you know, our goal is to really democratize this knowledge and make it accessible, that breaks down a lot of the barriers. And I think in the end, universities and companies will benefit more by having more people to choose from, by having more people interested in these programs. And so by opening the doors, I think we're really showing people that, yeah, science can be hard, but it's not impossible. And it takes time, but you can do it. And with our classes, what we've seen is people get the confidence, right? Day one, they're like, I don't know if I can do this. I'm investing in this. I think it's a good idea. I've heard people tell me it's a good idea and something that we should do. I'm nervous. Day three, they're like, I'm ready to go. Like I bought all this stuff. I'm ready to start making media. We're building our lab. I mean, the energy that you see from people once they get that knowledge and once they get that confidence is a game changer.
I mean, just going back to the Meristem, I mean, for example, what would a lab charge on a cannabis cultivar, say, and you're like, hey, I want to take my cultivar, bring it back to Meristem.
Yeah.
What does that cost?
$2,000 to $5,000 per strain.
Per strain.
Per strain.
And you can buy a TC kit for $2,000.
Yeah.
And probably a $200 microscope.
$2,000 plus the training that we're going to provide you, get the feedback, get the support, and you can do it yourself.
Yeah. For
a lot less. Yeah. For about half. And that's what I'm saying.
Well, and you could do it on every cultivar.
Yeah.
I mean, think about you got 20 cultivars in rotation, 20 times, you know, say average of $3,000.
Yep.
$60,000.
I've seen people charge up to 10,000, by the way, per strain, and people pay it.
Sure.
And you know, it's that valuable. And that's okay. If you want to pay for the service, God bless you and go for it, because there are very talented companies that do this. And I want to, you know, really give credit to those companies. They've found a need and a lot of them have done it successfully. At the same time, not everybody can afford that. And not every grower wants to go that route. And so that's where these tools like the Athena kit, like the education that we're providing, can give you the confidence and the ability to do it yourself. And really that's what we want, is to teach you how to fish instead of just giving it to you.
Well, I've heard concern, guys that don't want to do it. Part of it, it's the money. It's expensive.
Yeah.
But also, you want to send your prized strain out to some company that you don't.
Yeah, exactly. Like,
that's scary as shit, man.
You don't know what they're going to do with it, too.
Yeah.
If they could clone it themselves.
For sure. 100%, man. You know, everybody's seen that happen, right?
Yeah.
Don't give anybody this clone, right? And then 3 weeks later, everybody's got it. You're like, what? Yeah. You know, so that's a risk. So having that in-house, right, mm-hmm. allows you to
What's the value of that?
Yeah.
Huge.
Yeah.
Huge.
You think about the time and money spent pheno hunting.
This is your IP, right?
Yeah.
Genetics are it. You see that in every market. The guys that are winning are the guys that have best genetics,
yeah.
The best programs for breeding and constantly developing something new that nobody else has, right?
Yeah.
Super valuable.
You know, I think the reason why this partnership will work so well is you're kind of the Athena for tissue culture.
We'll take it.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, we're the plant cell technology for nutrients, right?
Yeah.
I mean, we spend hours upon hours making these SOPs. Sometimes, how long have you been working on RDWC with 20 buckets a year?
100+ hours.
A long time. Yeah.
A long time.
No, probably 1,000+ hours cumulatively. I mean, you think about all the design work that goes into it, the technical side of it. I mean,
We've got a calculator
that's built behind it so that people can calculate their nutrient. There's a lot of different aspects to it.
We do it
right?
for free. Like, we don't get paid for it.
No.
Like, we just give it away, you know? But I think the reason why the reason why we're so excited about doing the partnership is because you guys have the same philosophy, right? I mean, you spend a ton of time training, and a lot of these growers don't understand that it's not a new product. It's not this fancy new bottle. It's not something new that's going to increase a lot of times. Most of the time, it's procedure.
Yeah.
That's where you're really going to see the increase.
Procedure and practice.
Yeah.
And repetition.
Yeah.
Right.
100%. Where do you see tissue culture in the next few years?
Yeah. So what I'm really excited about is being able to culture secondary metabolites. So imagine being able to grow THC and terpene cells without a plant. One day. I mean, it's already being done. There's a few companies in Israel that are doing it now, but for pharmaceutical and medicinal purposes in the cannabis space, I see that as being a very valuable potential way of extracting THC and different cannabinoids from just cell culture as a whole. I know that sounds pretty far-fetched.
Well, there's companies that have like bred, I think probably through CRISPR bacteria that, you know, secrete certain compounds, mm-hmm. right? Is that what you're talking about or something different?
Similar. Yeah. So secondary metabolites, you can basically extract or focus. I mean, I'm not an expert on this, but from my understanding, you're able to grow cells that contain THC or that contain the terpenes. So you're isolating those compounds and growing them outside of growing, you know, the plant as a whole and having to extract it. I think also some of the things that we're seeing in the future with tissue culture is, I think CRISPR is going to really start to take over, and this is where patenting genetics will come in. But imagine taking, you know, your favorite strain with the highest THC and taking another strain with the best terpene, you know, profile and combining them, right? Using protoplast isolation to combine and fuse two different plants, and you don't know what you're going to get. It's kind of like playing God, and ethically, not everybody is super happy about it, but I think you could really create some very interesting combinations, and who knows what that could lead to.
What's the difference between just crossing them?
With this, you can
bring them together.
I think with like with crossbreeding, well, you have less control over the expressions, right? Of how that plant, of how that plant evolves with actually hybridizing them from the cell level, you're able to really, determine exactly what traits and expressions and profiles that plant will have. So I like to think of it as, if you're crossbreeding, let's just say flowers, right? You take a pink flower and a white flower. You might get a white flower with pink spots. You might get a pink flower with white stripes, but with CRISPR, you can really control how that plant manifests. So if you want a certain pattern or if you want certain traits, so the plant is very thick leaves and large flowers, you can fully control how those expressions manifest. And it's something I'm trying to learn more about. There are a few experts in the field that are working on this now, and it's something that I'm learning more about, but I think it's the future, and whether or not you're ethically for it, there's a lot of potential with what it can do for foods and also for cannabis specifically.
Do they do that inside culture?
Yeah.
So you do it with tissue culture.
Yeah. So tissue culture is the first skill that you need to learn if you want to do CRISPR. If you want to genetically modify crops, you got to learn aseptic technique. You got to learn how to work under a flow hood. So all the skills that you're learning within tissue culture, and tissue culture is kind of an umbrella term. So micropropagation is what we're talking about when we're talking about shooting and rooting and acclimating these plants. But all those skills that you're learning with this will benefit you if you want to work with animal cell culture, if you want to dive into human cell, stem cell work, like all the work that you're doing with tissue culture, learning apical meristem dissection, those motor skills are applicable to hundreds of other verticals that are in biotechnology. So I think we're in the first or second inning right now of the manifestation of where tissue culture will go. As I said earlier, this has been around since 1950, right? This is not new, but we haven't seen the space be disrupted in the way that I think it can and will be. So the sky is the limit. And with cannabis diving in head first to the space, we're going to see a lot more money and a lot more research and development, which I think is going to give us better products, better plants, and hopefully a better future, more sustainable future. I think micropropagation and tissue culture is the future of farming. Just hands down.
That's crazy. How long until cannabis is like mostly using tissue culture methods to do full like production?
I think within the next 3 to 5 years.
Really?
I'm confident. I think with the work,
that's
that
a big shift though. Yeah. Cause like almost nobody does it
nobody,
now, right?
I mean, it's very,
you'd be surprised. I'd say anywhere from 5 to 10%. Yeah. 5 to 10% of the industry is probably either dabbled in it or actively doing it
in production.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
That high?
5 or 10%.
Mm-hmm. And I think we're in the early innings, but with this education, with more accessibility, it'll rapidly increase. And then it's just about jumping on the bandwagon and not being behind.
Yeah. With the small kit that we put together.
Yeah.
I mean, it makes it so accessible.
Yeah.
It's so easy. It's affordable.
Yep.
It's easy. Yep. Get it in one box.
As it should be.
Yeah.
As it should be for growers. I mean,
and a good media too. I know we've talked about this a lot. It's like, imagine a new grower, all the things you got to learn. And then we're going to say also, well, and you also have to learn how to mix your own salts.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, come on, man. Yeah. I mean, even some of the smartest guys, best growers we know are like, I can do it, but my God, it's hard to do that on scale. Right.
Yeah.
And so that's why I like this. And what you guys have done with the media is it just kind of, it gives that like, standard, mm-hmm. I hope, you mm-hmm. know, that's like something that everybody can use and have success with on scale without yep. having to figure out that. Cause there's so many other aspects to think about, yeah. you know,
the nuances are tricky.
And this is exclusive to Athena.
Yeah.
This cannabis media.
Yep.
So we'll be exclusively distributing it to.
Yep. Shoots and Roots. You can get it at Athena. That's the yep. place to go. And if you want to reach out to us, we'll connect you and make sure that you can get it from some of your distributors that you have. We'll
retail stores.
Yep.
Yeah.
We want to get this in as many hands of cannabis growers as possible. We want to get your kits into as many hands as possible. We want people doing this. I envision a future or a training where I can see like 1,000 cubicles of like different kits, you know, the Athena kit, and everybody's working in that yeah. cubicle, practicing, mastering it like a school. And it's a matter of time.
Do you guys right? need some kits? We'll ship them.
Definitely. We want to get those kits out to some of our biggest influencers and promoters. We're also going to be sending them the media as well. I think our goal too, with some of the tissue culture classes that we'll do as well, I think we can tie in the kits really nicely.
Send us the list.
Definitely.
And we'll ship them out.
Yeah. No, we love it. We use it every day. So
okay.
It's been a lot of fun.
You guys use the Athena
kit. Yeah.
You guys use the Athena kit now.
Absolutely.
Oh, that's awesome. Do you use it in your class?
Absolutely.
That's awesome. Yeah. That's awesome.
In our 420 class, we were doing meristem dissections. The microscope fit perfectly under the flow hood and synthetic seed
and
production.
It plugs in. We got the yeah. extra plug on the side. Yeah. So you can yep. plug the microscope right there.
It's built for success, and it's already in play. So
microscope, what 100X? Is that enough?
50 is enough.
50 is enough?
50 is enough. I think you're going to get better quality with 100X. Yeah. But again, you don't need to spend $500, $600 on a microscope. You can spend $120 on a microscope and it'll work.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Amazon microscope will work. At the end of the day, you know, with all these tools, it's about size and scale, right? You can always spend more money. You can always get bigger, but you got to start somewhere.
Yeah. Cool. Well, This was, I really enjoyed this.
Awesome. This is awesome.
This was a great pod and a lot of information.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people are going to get a lot out of it. So
let's hope so.
Yeah.
And hopefully it's the first of many. You know, we're here to support your customers, and anybody that's an Athena customer, you know, we're on the same team. We want you guys to succeed. And I think Tissue Culture is going to really support your operations, and we're here.
Yeah.
Here to help.
Thanks for coming.
Yeah. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
All right. All right. Close out.
Let's do it.
Let me just run in the bathroom.
You could just say
you drank like three waters ahead of time.